Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. We are in Romans chapter 12. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Starting verse 3, for I say through the grace, chapter 12, verse 3, it's been given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy, proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, nor lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And the verse we'll look at this morning, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word is truth. Your word gives us hope. Your word gives us purpose. Your word has displayed and represented your heart in Jesus Christ going to the cross for each of us. Lord, we thank you for, again, being called your children and being called the family of God. We pray, Lord, as we come to these times, these uncertain times, that you would remind us once again of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of this message, Mark, is Hope in These Times. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, is a verse that I've always liked because it's haunting in some ways. Solomon said, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. That word revelation means vision, prophecy. Divine communication. To cast off restraint, it means to let loose. So you can say, have no bearing, no direction, no guidance, no anchor, no foundation. And the King James Version, it says to perish. Happy means blessed. Keeps means keep watch and guard. The law is the Torah or the word. It means direction or instruction. A very loose translation of this verse is this. Without God's revelation of hope, people have no guidance or sense of direction or purpose. Blessed are those who remain and follow God's instruction and direction, for they will always have hope and purpose. We're coming to a time, really, in this nation where it is very troubling and very questioning. What is going to happen? Well, as you see, the first thing we're talked about here is hope. Now, understand that without hope, like it says in Ezekiel, it says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Ephesians put it this way, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And if you will, that's what we see in this world today. Those that have hope and those who do not. Those that do not, then they're fearful. And it's very animate and apparent. They're confused. They're hurt. They're trying to figure things out. They don't know what truth is. Who knows what truth is with the media? But you and I do know truth. And it's important for us, especially this morning, as we come to this election time, is to realize our hope. Now, again, looking at verse 12, it says rejoicing in hope. That word rejoicing, it means exceedingly joyful. To be glad, to be well, to thrive. The word hope, you know it. It's the expectation of good. Now, make it a little clearer. In Lamentations, Jeremiah writes this. Jeremiah 3, 24 through 26. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Now, remember something. Lamentations is a book that was written when it was all lost in Israel. They were going into captivity. And Jeremiah again writes, therefore, I hope in him, the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Our hope is in God. No matter what happens, our hope is in God. No matter who gets elected, our hope is in God. There is no savior in human skin on this earth at this point. He is coming back, but he's not here right now, so don't look for him. Our hope is in God, for his expectation of good is for us. We can trust him that his expectation is always good. Now, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said this. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. That's what our hope is in. Jesus Christ. To understand that who he is, but also that he's in us. Colossians 1:27 puts it this way. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is in a person. And you and I who have received Jesus Christ, our hope now is in us. Expectation of good. That's what hope is. A good God. But see, understand that just as I read in Proverbs 29:18, it's without hope, there's no anchor, there's no way, there's wavering, there's uncertainty. But with us, it's totally different. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, the writer says there's two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Let me repeat that again. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Hey, folks, guess what? Well, the world may be blown by the wind, but you and I, we have a tether, we have an anchor, a sure foundation, and that hope is going to come to pass, for it is in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Where's your hope? You trust him? He is the anchor of our soul. But also, just as we just said, he doesn't lie. In Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. He's coming back for us. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. Let me repeat that. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he, Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our trust, our faith, our confidence, our anchor, it's in Christ. Now, understanding these things, let's go on. So rejoicing in hope, we're patient in tribulation. That word patient means to remain. It means to abide. It means not to recede, cower, or flee. Where? In what? In tribulation. What does tribulation mean? It means affliction, trouble, persecution. The word literally means pressing together, pressure, stresses, and oppressions of life. All these things that are happening around us, regardless of what situation you find yourself in, the pressures and struggles of life, the pressures and struggles in this government, the pressures and struggles we see all around us, the pressures and struggles that people are going through, the pressures and struggles that we're going through. All these things, he says, to be patient, remain, to recede, not to recede, not to cower, not to flee. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the writer says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. No matter what we're going through, he is faithful. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Hey gang, guess what? Even through the stresses and pressures of life, God is at work in our lives, wanting our roots to go deep into that anchor so we will not be shaken. But not just that, he also desires for us to grow strong against the wind, knowing that he will uphold us. But not just that, he wants us to bear fruit in these troubling times, that they would see the hope that lies within us, a hope that's sure, a hope that's a foundation, a hope that continues on and on and on. Now, we see that, okay, so we see rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, but now we see continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly is to adhere to one, to be devoted and constant to one in prayer. It's that communication. It's never severed. It's never broken off. No matter what happens, no matter what struggles you find yourself in, no matter what direction this country goes in, be in constant prayer to the one who is your hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says it this way. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. God will never forget us. God has not forgotten us. God's doing his work. He's asking us to stand firm. To the truth that again is revealed to us. So as we see our country headed to this important election of things going all over the place, people are fearful. People are fearful from the enemy from without and the enemy from within. And we must take heed to what Jesus said. Jesus said that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Again, you know what that really spells out? He's saying, talk to me. Don't lose focus. I'm your hope. Not this world. Not this nation. Not this president. Not the next. Not this government. Not this country. Not even this church. It's Christ. And only him. So remember what God said to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was quite the slice of cheese. The slice of bread. The hoo-hoo, the what-what, the win-win, and guess who? I'm me. God humbled him and then reminded him of something. said, they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. I like what it says in Psalms. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, for exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and He exalts the other. He is over all the nations, folks, this one included. Not just this one, China, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Israel, all of them. Psalm 47, 6 through 8, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding, God reigns over the nation, God sits on His holy throne. Be still and know this, that God is sitting on His throne. If we keep that focused, if we understand that truth, then what truly is there to be anxious about? What are we worried about? Our hope is in Him. Now, that doesn't take away our responsibility. Mark did it so beautifully and eloquently. That is, it's still our responsibility to vote. Why? Because you're citizens of this great country. You have been given that right by blood of others, by sacrifice, by struggles. Even if you will your own grandparents, your parents, those that went before us. This country is not perfect. There's never been a perfect country. There is one coming, the King, who will reign over it. But in the meantime, this is what we got. And because we do have a voice, and because it was given us this right, then it's our duty to be citizens in this country in a godly fashion. What represents best our interests as Christians? There's nothing wrong with saying that. Don't listen to this jargon of saying, well, politics and religion don't mix. Who says? Not our founding fathers. It's what they did to put it together, that it would be morally right, and when it wasn't, that the citizens would stand up test. Now, I am not saying that this country is going to turn back necessarily, but it still gives us the privilege, the responsibility to vote for the best person in line with our beliefs about the issues that are before us. Whether it's abortion or freedom of religion, of defending Israel, and there's a host of others. It's our responsibility to stand up, to vote. In Germany, they were kept silent. The church became a doormat. The church shall not. Not in this day and age. Not when there's too many things that are at stake. You see, it really is for the Christians of this world, too. I know it's been said, and I'll say it again. This country, for a lot of Christians throughout the world, is the one voice in this world, again, not the hope in a nation, that actually looks for their rights and defends it. So there's a lot involved in this, but at the same time, let's remember who this one that will actually lift up the one to lead. Now, this has happened before. I don't know if you remember, but the people in back in the days of Israel, it was a theocracy, which meant that God ruled. God was the king. And when they wanted a fleshly king, you know how we are. Well, we want a king we can see, we can touch. We want a king that will lead us in the battle. We want a king that will give us the rah, rah, roo, roo, and ree, ree, and we go. So then God gave them their choice. They gave him a king after their own desire. He was tall, he was handsome, and he looked the part. But his heart was away from God. but it's what the people want. So really our prayer is, God, don't give us the leader we deserve. We cry for mercy. Now, if things go bad, if the candidate you're thinking of doesn't get in there, we must remember these things. We've read it in Romans 5. We went over it in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. There's that constant prayer. Into this grace in which we stand. There's our anchor. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Oh, precious hope. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It was given to us. We just went over that. See, God uses this pressure and this stuff for our roots to go down deep so that our character becomes stronger. Not in of ourselves, but remember the hope that is in us is in Christ. That Christ is doing His work in and through us so that we become the lights of this dark world, revealing the hope that everyone can have in Christ. That is for everybody, every nation. Every tongue, every tribe is for all. So as we're waiting, as we see these things happen, we have to be ready. Peter puts it this way, be sanctified, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. Not taking your Bible and smacking people over the head, not taking a ruler and thumping, but in meekness and fear and love that's been poured out into all of our hearts to share the truth and what is the reason for our hope. Our hope is in Christ. And our hope, again, brings us to the place of constant communication with the one that we have hope in. That it never ever gets us to stop or to think that He's forgotten us. Because He won't. Because see, His character is based on who He is. His Word is based on His character. And His Word was given to us. Just as we went through these passages, our hope that He has promised is an everlasting hope. Now, it's really a short message. What I'd like to do now is pray. I have a prayer here that a lot of it I got offline, but some of them I add to it too. I'd like you to join with me in this prayer, and it really is about the upcoming election. That God would again be merciful to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Abba, Father, we thank You that Your mercies are new every day. Thank You for hearing and answering our prayers, even when we do not know how to pray as we ought. Thank You also that Your Holy Spirit is praying through us and for us right now, interceding for us with moaning and groaning that cannot be uttered. And You know exactly what He is saying as He translates our prayers. Father God, we praise You for Your sovereignty, for Your power, and for Your guiding hand on this country. You have been present in every era of our national journey, from the first settlers to the founding fathers to where we are now. And even when our actions have not pleased You, You have still had mercy and forgiven us. Over and over You have sent revival, even when we did not deserve it. And so we come to You again, Father, not from a position of deserving anything, but because we are crying out to You for mercy and believing You will grant it. Holy Father, Your Word says that if Your people who are called by Your name will humble themselves, That is, pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven and forgive our sins, and you will heal our land. Therefore, we acknowledge our sins before you and our desires to turn away from them. Forgive us of our sin and heal our land. In particular, we ask that you would turn the 2024 presidential election on our behalf. Give us a president who will govern righteously. And to that end, we pray today in Jesus' name, let righteous voters turn out in masses to vote for the cause of righteousness and justice. Protect the polling places. Keep them safe from corruption and corrupt people. Let nothing hinder or interfere with the proper function of the polling places and with the proper honest and fair collections of votes. Let the election results be counted fairly, reported fairly, and let everything be done honestly and above reproach. Do not let any fraudulent votes be counted in the election at all, in Jesus' name. If there are loopholes where criminals could influence the election results, whether before, during, or after the election, let them be exposed and resolved before they do any damage. Let no criminals have any influence over the election at all. Bring us a president who will govern America in support of Americans, not who govern for other nations' benefit or for personal gain. Bring us a president who will walk in and support only righteousness and justice, which are foundations of your throne. Give us a president who will communicate truthfully, transparently, and clearly with the American people. Bring us a president who will support Israel. Bring us a righteous president who will turn to your ways, who will seek you after their heart, after your heart. Let our president be a person of prayer, of your word, and even of fasting to seek your face. Let them be a person after your heart. Bring us a president with clean hands and a pure heart. Give them divine strategies to heal our land in every way, from advocacy for life, for healing the economy, and let them carry out those strategies without reprisal or hindrance. Give us a president the anointing of the sons of Issachar, that they may know the times and the seasons, to know what America ought to do. Endue them with your supernatural wisdom from on high. Father, help them to act from it at all times. Set a watch over their mouth and let them speak only as the oracles of God. Let their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth if they are even tempted to speak out anything that is not from you, from now through the time their office is over. Heal our land, O righteous Father, and use the president as a tool and weapon in your hands to do it. Father, only you can do this. It will take a miracle to turn this nation. That's exactly what we're asking for, from you, a miracle. You promised it in your word, and we have humbled ourselves and sought your face, and we turn from our wicked ways. Hear our prayers, therefore, and keep your promises, O God. Turn our nation back to yourselves, we pray in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. Please, Father, give us a president in this election cycle who will be kept safe and healthy, and who will be permitted to take office, who will govern only for the cause of righteousness, justice, and truth. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you please stand? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of His Holy Spirit.